Welcome back to another episode of Northeastern Next. On today's episode, we have David Wyatt, a graduate of the College of Engineering and the founder of Wyatt Engineering. We'll discuss his unique Northeastern experience, the inspiration for starting Wyatt Engineering, and his contributions to the most recent moon landing. Let's get into it. Hi, David. Welcome to the Northeastern Next podcast. How are you today?
I'm well, Tom. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thank
And
you.
you?
I'm doing well. Thank you
All
again
right.
for coming on such short notice. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. No, my pleasure. My pleasure.
So, where am I talking to you from today?
I'm in our offices in Lincoln, Rhode Island
Oh, okay.
right now. So
Nice.
yeah,
Not
you
too
can
far
see
of a ride.
all the crud behind me, all the books.
No, it actually, this I'm looking at the stuff behind you, and it is like, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty fascinating. Looks like the old Macintoshes back there.
They got an old Mac back there. Actually, part of our archives section is we have an old microfiche reader as well. I think that's actually what you're seeing behind me.
Is that the kind of the beige and like really
Yeah,
squared
the
off?
beige boxy one, it screams 1970 at
Got it.
you.
Yeah, I'm not
That's
gonna lie,
the
I've never heard of that before, but that
Oh,
is
yeah, microfilm, 35, 16 millimeter microfilm.
wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you got a
Yeah.
lot of cool stuff back there. So yeah, again, thanks for joining the pod today. I really appreciate you doing this, especially on a Saturday morning. To really get into it, I'd love to hear about your Northeastern experience and just a background on who David Wyatt is. So, do you mind telling me a little bit about yourself and your Northeastern experience?
Oh, yeah, it's a long sordid story, but no, I was in Northeastern in the I'll say sort of the mid 80s, because it was a kind of a gradual progression over time. Over that time, initially I had after high school I worked as a Finnish carpenter, and then traveled a bit hitchhiking around the country. Then I ended up at Emerson College, just over on Beacon Street. At the time, I was my background had actually been in technical theater, lighting design and set design, but mostly lighting. And at that time, and now we're talking late 70s, early 80s, a lot of theaters were going out of business. But I don't know if you heard of this, Tom, but there's this thing called cable television. It's going to be a savior of the arts. Instead, we got Mr. Ed reruns.
That's
But
not the worst thing, though.
so I did some work in television production, thinking that that was kind of the next horizon. And over time, I found that my interest was more toward the technology behind communications rather than content, which is what we call it now. And back then, no one was saying content. But so after a couple of years at Emerson, I went to UMass Boston just to catch up on the math, the physics, the chemistry that I hadn't thought about for years and years, and then moved over to Northeastern, pulled mostly by the cooperative education experience, and that's really what appealed to me. And so, I was somewhat older, at that point 4 or 5 years older than a lot of my contemporaries, and but it was a very good experience. I can't tell you enough about how that really helped form me as far as professionally. A lot of students, and I, myself included at the time, was saying, well, geez, I take all these classes, and yet I don't get to really implement a lot of it in my co-op experience. But there was so much professional development that took place in the co-op experience, learning to deal with people, which I think is kind of a lost art with everything being remote these days and all that. But so that's kind of what brought me to Northeastern. It was really getting into the science behind communication. So I actually got my degree in electrical engineering, got my bachelor's in electrical engineering, did a minor, although there wasn't a minor at the time, so I didn't get a degree for it, but I did my minor also in mathematics, and and spent a lot of time doing optics and what was at that time called frequency agile antennas. Antennas by their physical dimensions can only operate over a narrow bandwidth, a narrow range of frequencies. So I got into the microwave world along with the optics world, and that's what brought me to Northeastern.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. The co-op, you're one of many who I've talked to that just really say how amazing the co-op program was and just like that experiential learning. And it's like you said, getting that real world experience and learning to just talk to people and just learning. It's like you said, it's like a lost art, really, just being in an office and just operating in that kind of way. So in terms of what you did after graduation, did you jump right into electrical engineering? Were you working engineering jobs? Because I see that, or when I contacted you, we were talking about Wyatt Engineering, and I'd imagine that is your namesake, right?
Yes, it's funny. I did not want to name it Wyatt Engineering, but a little bit more about me is that I'm also the chair of the ASME Committee for Flow Measurement and Flow Control, and the chair of the subcommittee specifically on what's called differential producers, which is a type of flow measurement device. But I was more of a romantic. I wanted something like Clearwater Consulting, something, because a lot of the work I was doing was environmental based at that time. And then people said, "Don't be a dope. Everybody knows you by your name." Called it Wyatt Engineering. So kind of reluctantly, I went with Wyatt Engineering. And and there's where we've been. This iteration of Wyatt Engineering has well, it's 25 years now. We're pushing 25 years.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was a consultant, and that in itself is an interesting expertise. Before being a consultant, I worked for another flow measurement company, but I became a consultant, and there's a it, that's a tough business, or at least it was late 1990s, early 2000s, because your job is to convince people whose occupation is to do what you do to cut a purchase order for your services and convince their boss that that was a good idea.
Right.
And that so that dynamic is a difficult one. So you spend, as a consultant, or at least I spent probably about 80% of my time looking for work. And then 20%, I'd suck all the enjoyment I could out of that 20% of every job I got. So, but I'm sorry, I kind of went off topic there.
No, that's all right.
After Northeastern, I worked for a startup company in fiber optics, but it was a different kind of fiber optics, not the type that's being used in communications. It was a
Oh, okay.
special type of fiber. Yeah, the communications fiber is basically a silica fiber, and the fiber I was working with was something called zirconium fluoride, which was good for different wavelengths, longer wavelength radiation than your typical optical fibers for communication. So I did that for a while. It was a startup, but I was think I was employee five or so,
Oh, wow.
and then they started instituting time cards, and I said, this does not bode well. So, especially, it was a freewheeling time where you would just go to the lab and say, "All right, let's try this, let's try that." And at that point, I was strictly engineering, and but there was a whole business side of things that, every time I go into the lab and say, "Let's do this, let's do that," that it's costing somebody money. And and that's why, a lot of the financial controls started coming in, and maybe I chafed under that kind of a approach. So I said, "It's time to leave." So I started working for a flow measurement company at
Oh,
that
okay.
point.
What was the inspiration then to make the pivot to start Wyatt Engineering, which I want to put on the record. I think that name is great. It's got a nice ring to it. It really rolls off the tongue.
Thank you. Well, yeah, actually, as a consultant, as I was saying, you spend a lot of time looking for work. And I was talking with a company called Badger Meter. It's still around. I don't know if it's in the multi-billions, but it's certainly in the billion-dollar range. At that time, it was a small company, like a half a billion. And I had heard that their engineering staff was turning over. A gentleman who had been in charge of engineering for many years had was getting close to retirement, and I thought, this is a great gig. If I can become the lead engineer there for a few months until they find someone for permanent employment. I mean, again, that ticked all the boxes, that I don't have to constantly be looking for work. And and Oklahoma is a beautiful place. So I
Oh,
was
you were in
planning to,
Oklahoma at this point.
well, yeah, yeah. Well, no, at this point I was still in Rhode Island and
Oh, okay.
still am, but I was cognizant of the fact that ultimately I'd have to go to Oklahoma, Tulsa, the Tulsa area for at least a few months until they found a permanent replacement.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they wanted to meet with me. I got ready to sat and flew out there, sat down to meet with them, and I thought, all right, here I got the gig. I got 3 to 6 months worth of work, and that's going to work. And then they turned around and said, how would you like to buy this division out of Tulsa?
Oh,
And
wow.
it's like, wow, yeah, exactly. I didn't see that coming. And
Wow.
I'm sure all the business people out there who are listening to this, my first question to Badger management was, are you going to finance this deal? Of course, they said no,
Right.
so I had to go look for funding. But it went from me looking at getting a 3 to 6 month job to owning a division out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, the inspiration to start Wyatt was as a production facility, an engineering company, as well as a providing product as opposed to just services. It was really kind of fortunate that Badger Meter at that time, their business was kind of high volume, relatively low dollar
Okay.
product,
Yeah.
while the division and Venturi meters and different types of flow meters, industrial flow meters, were kind of a onesie twosie type of business. And so that just didn't mesh with their plans at that time. Again, this is right at 2000, late 2000. So they spun off that division. We took that division private. Badger Meter is a publicly traded company.
Oh, okay.
We took that division private and took off, and it was like grabbing onto a freight train. So,
And I'd imagine the train's still rolling pretty well, right?
it is. I mean, it there really wasn't a chance to catch my breath. Again, I wasn't really
Yeah.
well, I'll be honest, I really wasn't prepared for the volume of business and the types of businesses and the challenge. Again, my background, I'm a bit of a wonk. It's like, let me do my engineering, leave me alone. And now it becomes a now it became a business enterprise where I had to report to people and provide not only technical guidance, but also market guidance and everything else. And all of that, again, I'll have to say, Northeastern was a part of it. It exposed me, and through co-op, again, a lot of the co-op work was more of a, I'll call it, a professional development component to it. Yes, it's nice. Yeah, you get to use some of what you learn in school, but it was understanding the mechanisms of corporations, how they work, what moves people. The one thing I really learned is that money people are very different than engineering people.
Yeah,
There's
in my limited experience, yeah, I've
just a
seen that.
very different perspective, and yeah, very different in whenever you see a different perspective, it's a growth experience. It's like, all right, wow, it's okay, that's a different way of looking at things. And
That's really interesting that
so,
you kind of had to find, I don't know, would it be fair to say that you kind of had to like find that balance, between those two mindsets?
it's tough, and it gets tougher to kind of switch gears from, all right, I gotta think business, I gotta think engineering. It's difficult to kind of go back and forth, because I'll, when I talk to the other engineers in the company, it's like, okay, yeah, let's do this, and then there's this little niggling part in the back of my mind saying, yeah, you know, who's going to pay for that?
Gotcha.
Where's the money coming from? Sure,
Right.
sounds like a blast, but someone's going to foot the bill at the end of the day.
Oh man. That's something that I mean, I'd imagine everybody goes through that at some point where it's just like, this is going to be a really fun idea, but who's footing that bill?
And I'm famous or infamous in our company for my quote unquote science projects.
Okay.
Because it's like, hey, let's just give this one a try. Let's just give it a try.
So to talk about your quote unquote science projects, and I think this is really underselling it, but when you initially reached out to alumni relations, one thing that jumped out to me is that you said Northeastern landed on the moon. And of course, I'm going to have to get to the bottom of that. And of course, this is somebody that I'm going to have to talk to. So it sounds like you designed a flow meter that was a part of the Odysseus lander that landed on the moon at the end of February. So couple weeks ago at this point. So just, you know, not only for myself, but for those listening who might not know exactly what a flow meter is, do you mind explaining what that is and then
Oh,
talking about its connection?
sure. One of the things that Wyatt Engineering, our company, has gotten known for is, you know, not only these science projects, but our desire and ability to take on these really challenging applications. So we have kind of a reputation in the market that, you know, if everybody else says it can't be done, give Wyatt a call and they'll throw some time at it. But so what it is basically, what made the Odysseus lander very unique, or one of the things that made it unique, again, this was engineered by a company called Intuitive Machines out of the Houston area. Fabulous organization, dynamic. You'd think they were a startup by they seem to have the same design philosophy as we do. It's like, all right, let's give that a try. That's kind of neat. That's kind of different. If you can't come up with a reason not to do it, then let's give it a try. So what made the Odysseus lander, one of the things that made the Odysseus lander unique is that it was using a different type of fuel. It's using methane and oxygen as its fuel. A lot of other, well, everything else prior to that point, space programs have used something that's called hypergolic fueling, which is basically it burns at one flow rate and that's it. It's very hard to control. It's like an on-off type of thing. With the Odysseus lander, they were mixing liquid methane and liquid oxygen to promote the combustion. So what our meters do in that application is we're basically measuring the flow rate and mass flow of liquid oxygen, liquid methane, and not only measure the mass of the flow going through these meters, but also allows the folks at Intuitive to balance the flow rates in a way that allows for the most efficient combustion and design. And you know, when they first did the commissioning, you know, shortly after they left Earth orbit, yeah, they learned a lot in the process, but it really was a very effective method of propelling the unit and positioning the lander for what they call orbital insertion and ultimately landing on the moon.
Wow,
So
that's really
our
cool.
devices measure liquid oxygen, liquid methane, does
That's
the mixing.
cool. Wow.
And allows mission control, or you know, NOVA control is what they call it at Intuitive, to do that.
So how does it really, how does, I guess my question is I'm curious, how does this process begin to even just become involved with a space program and a project like this? Does I'm going to throw NASA out there. It's probably, I don't know, I could be wrong about that, but does NASA or just the company designing the Odysseus, do they reach out to you or is it something that you hear about and you say, hey, you know, we've been working on this project and we think it would be applicable for your program? Just how does that work from the very beginning?
Oh, they reached out to us, and I think a lot of it was our reputation for taking on these types of projects. A lot of what NASA does now is outsourced to, you know, private companies. This whole program, it was something that came under the acronym of CLPS, CLPS. So to answer your question, how this came about, Wyatt Engineering has this reputation for taking on difficult projects and different types of projects. So Intuitive Machines reached out to us, and you know, we took on the challenge. A lot of what NASA does is under you know, program where they're commercializing certain aspects of it, because NASA has a certain design philosophy, and the private industry has a more aggressive and different type of design philosophy. So I think NASA is leveraging what private industry can do and do quicker than they can. So they reached out to Intuitive, and Intuitive reached out to us as far as the propulsion units go.
That's really cool. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that. You hear about all this government contracting. You always wonder if it's something that gets volunteered up by the private institution, or if it's something that the government kind of goes seeking out. That's really interesting. That's
No,
cool.
it's a bid. It's kind of a bid process. NASA will float out, we want to go to the moon, and these are the things we want to accomplish when we get there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
That's
and
really
Intuitive stepped forward, and again, a great organization there, great team there. I mean, I just feel fortunate. Everyone at the company here feels fortunate to have just had this opportunity to work with Intuitive on this project.
So yeah, that was my next question. I was gonna say, what is that feeling gotta feel like? What does it feel like to know that you've created something that landed on the moon? That's just, it's almost mythical.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Odysseus is a Greek myth.
Oh
So the
yeah.
Odyssey, it comes from that. It when it happened, you know, I was watching the NASA feed the whole time, and it's like, I can't believe this is really happening. I can't believe this is really happening. You know, because when they first, you know, contacted us, and they said, all right, this is what we're looking for, and we said, all right, this sounds like a great project. Love to be part of it. And because of their efficiencies and the way they work, things move very quickly. And then it was only when, all right, launch date is you know, early 2024, that I started realizing that there's something that has my name on it on the moon now.
So
So
cool.
500 years, when they're doing archaeology digs on the moon,
Right.
they'll see this thing and
Right.
say, well, Wyatt, who the heck was that guy?
So do you get kind of something to commemorate it by? I mean, like, are you gonna get like a moon rock or something?
Oh, you know, you don't build monuments when you're starting a revolution. And that's the way we look at it.
That's a good
The
way to look
revolution
at it.
is over when you start getting things to hang on the wall.
Right. That's a really, you know what? That's a very fair perspective. Well, that's incredible.
Yeah,
So,
it is pretty neat. It is again, I can't say enough how, you know, honored I am to be part of this, and how proud I am of all the people here at Wyatt Engineering who did the work on it. It really is something else. So.
Yeah, it really is an incredible feat because, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really name anybody outside of, you know, the big names who are like, I have involvement with the moon. That's really cool stuff.
Yeah,
That's really
it
cool.
is. It is. And it's funny when I think of when I started Wyatt Engineering way back, as a consultant still, I had this idea of what will this flow meter look like? And I started really, you know, just sketching things, and on a, you know, a notebook, a spiral wound notebook, and said, hey, yeah, this should work. This looks good. And ran some tests, and so the meters we provide, you know, are one. The type of meter it is, it's something, as I said earlier, a differential producer, that there's really no moving parts on this meter. So the reliability of the device, you know, lends itself to really nasty environments or demanding environments, like you would see, oh, I don't know, somewhere between, you know, Florida and the moon. You know, it's funny. We have a map here. You know, when meters ship, we'll put a little pin in the map. Oh, hey, there's a neat one. And we have Wyatt Engineering. We have map. We have. I'm sorry. We have venturis, flow meters, on every continent. We have
Oh,
even
wow.
down in Antarctica. We've One of our meters is used to drill holes in the ice. They meter the hot water that they use to drill a hole in the ice. And so we got a map of the world with all these little pins in it. And it's like, okay, where do I put this pin?
Right.
For right now, it's on the
Yeah, I was gonna
ceiling.
say. I mean, I can't think of a better place to put it. That's awesome. So, I mean, just the moon being such a crazy accomplishment, I do have to ask though, since this is the Northeastern Next podcast, what is next for you and what's next for Wyatt Engineering?
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for asking. We are, expanding more in, as I said a little bit earlier in our conversation, our background in buying out this division out of Badger Meter in 2000 or 2001 was mostly an industrial, petrochemical refineries, power plants, water, wastewater as well. We had a kind of a broad base, and this aerospace business and the privatization of a lot of space. There's a lot of private space companies out there. I mean, Intuitive is just one of, probably a couple of dozen in the US. So we're looking to really expand, our presence in aerospace. I guess that's one thing. Another thing, and I didn't really talk too much about it, but as I did mention it earlier, that I'm the chair of the ASME committee on flow measurement. And I'd really like to see more outreach there. I've put on presentations to various colleges and universities to get people involved in, volunteering, whether it's with ASME, just because of the mechanical engineering or the engineering component of it, but also continue my presence in ASME and also work with colleges and university students and their local chapters to get involved in writing standards, working on a volunteer basis, contributing to, the greater good as can, be manifested in a code and standard. But it really comes down to, education and being able to continue to contribute. There's no, thought of retirement or anything. We've been approached by different companies, and it was a few years ago, a large corporation came to me and said, "All right, Dave, what's your exit strategy?" And it's like, I don't even know what the heck they're talking about. The exit strategy. Why would I want to leave? I'm having so much fun now.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's
So,
incredible.
you ask, well, what's next? It's like we will continue to find ways to contribute. And this is something, my opinion, that I think everybody should do no matter what their job. I mean, I'm fortunate in the way my past has gone that I've been able to, form this company with other well-meaning people. And, if you can continue to contribute, there's nothing better than that. And, not to use a cliche, but it's the journey, not necessarily the destination, that makes it a blast every day to come to work.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, thank you so much, David, for joining us today. I mean, those were incredible stories and incredible accomplishments, and I'm looking forward for this episode to come out. That's
Oh,
awesome.
it should be. Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Again, it was one of those things I thought, well, should I reach out or not? And it just seemed like a kind of a compelling story. And like I said, I feel very fortunate to have met the people I've met and worked with the people I've worked. It's a people at Wyatt Engineering, it's a great organization, and Intuitive Machines and the other space companies that we work with.
I mean, I'm thank you for reaching out. I mean,
Oh,
wow, thank you.
sure. All right. Well,
All
thank
right.
you. Thank you very much, Tom.
Yeah, of
Thanks.
course. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Northeastern Next. Are you or do you know a Northeastern alum with a great story to tell? If so, email us at alumni@northeastern.edu to be featured on a future episode of the pod. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you the week after next.